Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report live here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this weekdays at 11 a.m. If you miss the live show, you can catch the replay at 3 o'clock. If you miss the replay, we're always available on a podcast format on both SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Glad to have you with us today. The Big Ten Conference announced the schedule yesterday afternoon on a special program on the Big Ten Network. Just minutes, hours after that, IU announced its official schedule for the 2018-19 season. We already knew the non-conference games. We already knew the Big Ten opponents. We just didn't know the order and how things would shake out. From that perspective, we do now, which means we have plenty to talk about, and we are just an inch closer to the start of the 2018-19 season. A very interesting IU basketball schedule, definitely, I think, and others that have joined us have said this, and we're going to talk more, obviously, about the schedule today, but others have said, and I agree, that this is definitely the toughest schedule that Indiana has had in a while. There are some big challenges, some big marquee games in the non-conference portion of the schedule, and while the Big Ten schedule, in a way, might be easier because there's none of those 2-game and 3-day crazy scenarios that Indiana seem to get put in way more than anyone else in the conference, there are still going to be some challenging stretches, as you would expect in a grueling Big Ten conference, especially a stretch in January where Indiana goes on the road for a number of games in that month from, I think, the first week and a half of January through the first couple days of February. They've got like 6 of 7 games on the road. So there will be some challenges. There will be some interesting things. There's no question about it. But the schedule is now here, and we can move forward knowing a little bit more about what things will look like when the regular season, when the season begins. It also was announced yesterday that Indiana will schedule Southern Indiana, a great Division II opponent. I love to see Indiana schedule the D2 guys locally in the state, whether it's Indianapolis, Southern Indiana, Bellarmine just across the river. There is some great competition to utilize for exhibition games. Indiana with just one exhibition game this year, and again, Southern Indiana, the opponent, that also came out yesterday when the schedule was released by Indiana as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham joining us on this Wednesday program. I'll have some news and headlines here in this first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. In segment two, Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com is filling in for Jeff Rabjohns. We'll talk about the schedule, IU football, and more. Later in the program, Brian Snow of Scout.com is with us, 24/7 Sports. Also, Brian is the director of the Form Tip-Off Classic that has become the great high school basketball showcase of the regular season at Southport. The full schedule was announced yesterday. I'll tell you the schedule here in just a few moments. Jeffersonville will be a local team participating in that event, and we'll have Brian on to talk about the entire event. It's another great event that focuses on a lot of the top players in the state, a lot of guys with Indiana connections that by that time could be an IU commit, could be an IU target still. We'll have to see how things shake out, but definitely a great day of high school basketball. It takes place in early December, and it will be a lot of fun, a great way to get the full season rolling when that high school basketball season gets here. So we'll talk with Brian. And then later in the program, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he'll join us as we talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines, including a look at Week 2 high school football. We haven't had any time to turn the page yet and get into what Week 2 looks like, but we'll talk about some of the big games and what the schedule will be like for Friday night. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned the schedule out yesterday from Indiana and the Big Ten Conference. And again, Hoosier Hysteria takes place on Saturday, September 29th. We knew that. Indiana will play Southern Indiana in an exhibition game on Thursday, November 1st, just one exhibition game before they open the non-conference portion of their schedule on Tuesday, November 6th with Chicago State. Obviously, that's a home game at Assembly Hall. The first big game for Indiana will take place on Wednesday, November 14th, a game at Assembly Hall as well. That's when Marquette comes to town. It's part of the Gavitt tip-off games. And immediately after that Marquette game on Sunday, November 18th, just 4 days later, Indiana will play another big road game, their first big road game of the year, at Arkansas down in Fayetteville. Of course, Duke highlights part of the non-conference schedule on November 27th. That's a game that'll be played in Durham. Other big games, Louisville comes to Bloomington for what should be a great game and a rivalry that I know a lot of fans hope has a future. Indiana will take on Butler at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, part of the Crossroads Classic on Saturday, December 15th. And Big Ten Conference play, I skipped over that. It actually begins on Saturday, December 1st. Indiana will take on Northwestern at home, so they will open the conference season at Assembly Hall. Then a few days later, they will play at Penn State on Tuesday, December 4th. No other Big Ten Conference games until after the new year. That's when it goes Big Ten all the way from Thursday, January the 3rd on. And there's a great stretch in there starting Sunday, January 6th, where Indiana goes at Michigan on January 6th. They go at Maryland on January 11th. They come home to take on Nebraska on January 14th. They go to rival Purdue at Purdue on January 19th. They're at Northwestern on January 22nd. They will play Michigan at home on January 25th. Then they go back to January 30th on the road at Rutgers, Saturday, February 2nd, on the road at Michigan State. So that's quite a stretch there with just two home games involved in a stretch from Sunday, January 6th until Saturday, February 2nd. That obviously will be a big month or so for Indiana. Not only are they conference games, but a lot of those games will be played on the road. That will be a very interesting time, I think, for this team to find out what you can expect moving forward later into the conference season and perhaps even into the postseason as well. Some other interesting things with the schedule. Obviously, for all the Big Ten teams this year, this is the first year of 20 games in the conference schedule, which means teams play 7 double plays and 6 single plays, 3 of those at home, 3 on the road, for a total of the 20 games in conference play. Also, it's the first time that, like the Indiana-Purdue game, is protected as a rivalry game, which means that every year you're guaranteed in the Big Ten schedule to see Indiana and Purdue matched up once at Assembly Hall and once at Mackey Arena. That's not always been the case. And reading even more into it, it's also the first year where they're putting an emphasis on regional matchups, maybe not big rivalry games, but matchups in the region that make sense, that are good for travel time, that make for good basketball, make for good regional rivalries, where they have some protection on them as well, which basically it's not as strong as the Indiana-Purdue type protected rivalry, but it means over the course of 6 years, a regional matchup over the course of a six-year cycle, in-state rivals will play each other 12 times. That would be like Indiana-Purdue. Regional opponents will play 10 times, and all other teams will play 9 times. So a lot of that stuff, you got to applaud the Big Ten. I know there's been some questions about a 20-game schedule and how that fits into things, but the protected rivalries, the regional games, there's some sense to how the Big Ten schedule will be put together, some baselines for that, which I think are very, very good as well. Also, I mentioned this earlier, but the one-year turnarounds that Indiana had yesterday, they were one of a couple teams, but it seemed like Indiana really got the brunt of play, sit, play. Some of those games obviously were play, travel, play. that will happen not to Indiana and not to anyone in this year's conference schedule, which is a good thing, not just for Indiana, but for the entire conference. I can only imagine those are very, very tough on the players, the coaches as well. But a Big Ten schedule out, some interesting things to look at, and obviously we'll talk more about it a little later today in the show. Other headlines of the day. Yesterday, before we went off the air, we announced that New Albany graduate Sean East has finally made his commitment, his decision on where he will play basketball for the upcoming 2018-19 season. He will play for Combine Academy. They have a number of campuses across the eastern half, the middle half of the United States. He'll play on the postgraduate team for Combine Academy that's located in Lincolnton, North Carolina, which is just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, about 30 minutes or so. So he's going to play, it looks like, a pretty aggressive schedule, play with the fifth-year players that are looking to get re-recruited. And a lot of times you go to those events, those guys have a number of college coaches there to watch those type of teams and those type of showcases that they will get the opportunity to play in. A lot of people interested in Sean after a great 4 years at New Albany. He did draw some Division I interest. He actually drew a Division I offer playing AAU as an unsigned senior back in July, but chose to get re-recruited, and we'll see what options he has as this upcoming season plays out. Obviously, it will be really, really big for him to play in front of the coaches and get one more opportunity to get recruited and get seen as a member of the 2019 class now. He still has 4 years of college eligibility. This is just a fifth year, basically, of high school basketball, term postgraduate or a traditional prep school type situation is what he'll be doing for the upcoming season. Some other good news for a local former player from Jeffersonville, Tommy Luce, the son of Jeff coach Joe Luce. Yesterday, Purdue, he's been a walk-on there since he left to go to Purdue after finishing his career at Jeff, and he was only at Jeffersonville for one season when his father took the job as the Red Devils' boss. But he has been at Purdue, a walk-on. He's kind of become a fan favorite. He's had some clips on SportsCenter and been featured definitely. A fan favorite is probably lightly saying how he's been received by the students and the fans at Purdue, but he was yesterday awarded a scholarship for the upcoming year in a team meeting. Purdue actually tweeted out the video of Coach Painter sitting with the team. I'm sure they were having a team meeting about a number of things and mentioning that Tommy would receive a full scholarship for this season. So that obviously is big stuff for him, an opportunity to get college paid for and be a scholarship member of the Purdue team. So a local player now with a scholarship at Purdue. Interesting to see the path that Tommy has been on, but it has worked out very nicely for him, and obviously he's found a great home at Purdue. The Form Tip-Off Classic, I mentioned that Brian Snow is going to be with us later in the program. The games are set for Southport. It will be a great day of basketball in early December. The lineup looks like this. Southport will take on Frankton. That's the opening game of the day. Carmel will take on the lone local interest in the one-day event. That will be Jeffersonville, so Carmel against Jeff. Brownsburg will take on Newcastle. Hamilton Southeastern will take on Culver Academies. Indianapolis Cathedral will take on Zionsville. That pits a matchup between some Division I players there. And Center Grove will take on LaPorte La Lemire in the nightcap with Trace Jackson Davis taking on Keon Brooks in that head-to-head matchup between two huge IU targets at this point. But we'll go through the matchups with Brian. There are a ton of college prospects, a ton of big-name players in that event from start to finish. Trace and Keon just highlight what will be a day full of big-time prospects showcased from the state of Indiana. So another great lineup, should be another terrific day of high school basketball in the state of Indiana, and Brian Snow will be with us a little bit later in the program to recap things for this big event coming up, the Form Tip-Off Classic. Don't forget, it's Wednesdays, which means at Hoopsters, you can buy three or six traditional or boneless wings. When you buy three or six, you'll get three or six free at Hoopsters Sports Grill every Wednesday. A great place to stop for lunch today, a great place to stop for dinner today. Make sure you get by Hoopsters Sports Grill and take advantage of their great wings special. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. We'll talk about IU's basketball schedule for the 2018-19 season. That'll be followed by Brian Snow of 24/7 Sports, who will talk about the Form Tip-Off Classic lineup. We'll tell you all the big players, all the big matchups in that event. And we'll close out today with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, talking about week two of the high school football scene here in Clark and Floyd counties. To a commercial break we go. Back with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're going to be joined by Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. He's filling in for Jeff Rabjohns on Wednesday's program. But first, just at the top of the hour, the NCAA releasing that the RPI ratings will no longer be used by the NCAA Men's Basketball Selection Committee. They are going to be replaced by something called NET, N-E-T, which stands for NCAA Evaluation Tool, and will rely on game results, strength of schedule, game location, scoring margin, net offensive and defensive efficiency, and the quality of wins and losses, according to the NCAA. So very interesting there. Have to investigate a little bit more what that NET, that NCAA evaluation tool, will all include, and specifically how it will work. But Ken, I guess it's fair to say RIP to RPI.
Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to really go through it, same as you. Just haven't had a chance to go through it yet. But here's my thing on that. You know, just the offensive and defensive efficiency numbers, I think that's really interesting, because to me, you want to know something? When you're talking about an NCAA tournament team and if they deserve to get in, to me, it's not the how, it's how many. And it's how many wins did you get? What are the quality of wins? How you played in those games is irrelevant to me, because eventually it comes down to wins and losses and how you were able to get into it with that. So I don't know what the offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency is going to bring to the table on that. To me, it's just about who did you beat, who did you play, where did you play them. That to me are the most important aspects of this, not exactly how you played, because at the end of the day, one number counts. And that's a score at the end of the game, regardless of how you play.
Talking with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com on this Wednesday program. When we look at Indiana basketball for the upcoming season, the schedule released yesterday, and when that schedule becomes final, when that roster gets posted on the IU Athletics website, even though it's still summer and we're still a long way from the start of the season, it does feel like we've made a little progress. We're inching closer, you could say, to the 2018-19 season. This is a tough Indiana schedule, and I'm curious your thoughts on it.
Well, I just wanted to start with the fact that the Big Ten Network had this show where they released the schedules and showed them off. And you know what? If you're not paid to watch that kind of show, if you're not in our business and you're not paid to watch that show, and you purposely tune in to watch that show, you've got problems, man. when you're watching in August about what the schedule is for the basketball team, that's madness. I can't believe they televised that, but that said, you know, I think that it's an interesting schedule, because you do have, those games. You know, the directional school games, the cupcake games, I don't worry too much about those unless there are too many of them. You know, Indiana's, battle against Butler and Arkansas and Duke. Those are the main ones to me. And, it's going to be challenging for this team, but that's a positive. And I think that it's shows a difference in the way Indiana wants to go about putting together its non-conference schedule, the importance of playing better games. The previous coaching staff had a different philosophy on it. You could argue if it was right or wrong, but they wanted to get to 20 wins, and, you know, how they got there wasn't important, and that goes back to, you know, who you played and being able to get those W's. But I do think that Archie Miller likes to play these games, thinks that it brings something to his team, prepares them better for the league season. And there's no question that Indiana has kind of followed his lead on the kind of teams that he wants to play. And I think that there's that nice mix of being able to test yourself while also just racking up the wins. I think that's going to end up paying off for the Hoosiers in Big Ten season.
Ken Bykoff of Pegs.com, my guest. I went through some of the highlights and intricacies of the schedule in our headline segment to start the show. But one thing I didn't mention, I mentioned that there was a tough stretch in January into early February where Indiana has a number of conference games on the road. But overall, Indiana will play 12 true road games for this season, which is the most they've played since the 2005-06 season. And I guess part of that's due to the Big Ten Conference expanding its game schedule from 18 for everybody in the conference to 20. But 12 games on the road for Indiana this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. There's no question. But you know what? I like it. I like it. You know what? Go challenge yourself. Why do you play these games? You don't play it to just enjoy the comfort of your own home. You're testing yourself. And so get out on the road, play, you know, be willing to do that. And I think it's going to make a difference. And, you know, in terms of a rough stretch where you have to play a number of road games, that equals out because you have that. There's going to be that stretch where you have a number of home games as well. It all has to even out, especially in conference play. I'm okay with teams challenging themselves when going on the road, when trying to see what they could do away from home. It sets a tone inside the program, too. And that's something that I think is very important, that the coaching staff is telling the players, look, this is what we believe you can do. We wouldn't schedule these games if we didn't think that you could be competitive and win each one of them. So prove us right. Challenge yourself and prove us right. And I think that that's kind of the right mindset. And the way that Archie Miller has been handling everything since he arrived in Bloomington, it is to challenge his players to meet the expectations that he is setting. And now it's up to them, obviously, to perform.
Ken, I'll tell you one thing that I do not like with the conference schedule, and this doesn't have anything to do with Indiana specifically, but as a big guy of high school basketball, big fan, we love it in Southern Indiana. Obviously, it's special to the entire state of Indiana. I hate to see the Friday night games, and I know we had some in the conference last year. It looked on paper that maybe there are more this year than last year. I can't verify that. I didn't count them up, but there definitely are a number of Friday night games. Indiana will play on Friday night a handful of times, and I just think that just like they did a few years ago with football and moving to some Friday night conference games, I think that that is a mistake with the high school reputation and the fans and the support that it has always gotten, especially in our state, but other states as well, where it's maybe important, but, oh, the fan support is not as good as what it is here. I just think that's a bad look to take that night away from high school sports.
Well, that's suggesting that the Big Ten gives a flip about the fans.
Exactly.
Because they don't. They just don't. It's about, okay, we want to televise as many games as we can. Hey, here's some spots on Friday. I hate the Friday games, too, because like you said, not only is it for a high school game, you know, you have that opportunity to let people enjoy high school basketball, but to me, it just makes it more difficult for fans. Because, look, you have a game on a Friday night. Okay, it's a Friday night game. You're heading home from work. You're trying to. To me, if you have a game on Saturday, you have it on Sunday. You know that's fine. You have all day to prepare for it. But from a fan standpoint, if you're coming to the game and let's say it's a 7 o'clock tip-off, you're traveling from anywhere that you have to travel from. You're leaving work early. You're doing that, and that's, you know, you just have to do that once a week or every other week because you have season tickets and you go to the weekday games. You know that is something that people deal with. But then you throw it in on a Friday, and now maybe if you have two home games, you're having to do that twice a week. None of it is good for the fans, and the Big Ten does not care. And they've shown it. The NCAA doesn't care about the fans either. They do these things. It used to be, I think, that it was just the Ivy League and a couple of Pac-10 schools maybe were the ones that would play on Friday. And now you have Friday games all over the place. I'm right with you. I hate it.
Ken Bykoff, Pegs.com. Ken, I got to get to a commercial break, but before we go, quickly, you have a prediction on us for IU starting quarterback as the race we think is beginning to wind down?
My prediction, just again, this is just from I don't have any information to back it up, but I think Peyton Ramsey has done enough to kind of build the trust in the coaches, and I think trust is going to be the biggest thing here. I think all three quarterbacks will play early on at different parts, but I think Peyton Ramsey is going to be the guy that they trust and has played in the system enough to get that nod early on.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, filling in for Jeff Rabjohns today. Ken, always great to catch up. We'll do this again soon, and I'll talk with you, I'm sure, very shortly.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Brian Snow, Brian of 24/7 Sports, also the director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, which has become the marquee event in Indiana high school basketball. The full schedule came out yesterday. We'll break it down. We'll tell you the top players and talk about each of the games coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
The high school basketball season, it begins in Indiana in mid to late November, but it really kicks off on Saturday, December 8th for the Forum Tip-Off Classic. Brian Snow of 24/7 Sports, also the director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, joins us now to talk about another star-studded lineup of the top teams and college prospects from the Hoosier State. A lot of IU connections in this event once again this year. Brian, congratulations again. I feel like I say this each and every time we talk on this program, but you've put together a terrific lineup, should be some very competitive games, and should showcase many of the top college prospects from the state of Indiana.
Yeah, you know, that's always the goal, is to get the best teams, the best players all together for one day and kind of have everybody in the state have a chance to see everybody. And again, it should be fun. It's been great the last several years, and unfortunately, I petitioned the IHSAA to have Romeo get another year of eligibility, but they didn't allow that. So, you know, we'll have to move on to other things.
One of the great things about the event, and let's hope, and I think it will continue, given your marquee game we're going to talk about here in a few moments, but one of the great things about the event, not only is it the top players and the top teams in the state, but it's at a great facility for fans to watch at Southport's Fieldhouse. And the crowd, each and every year, it got bigger. And for some of those key games in the evening, you were dealing with a situation where it was a sellout or near a sellout. And we're talking about a very big facility, one of the big ones in Indiana high school basketball. All those things put together with the fans there. And a lot of times it wasn't just a fan base supporting a specific team. It was fans from the Indianapolis metropolitan area that maybe didn't get to see Romeo down in New Albany or other places, and had a really unique feel to it because of all those things put together.
Yeah, you know, our goal is always to get a lineup together that's going to give a sectional atmosphere in early December. And obviously, it's impossible to recreate a one and done scenario if you lose, but you know, it's been tremendous to see the community around the whole state of Indiana really embrace the event over the last few years. You know, this is our sixth year doing it. You know, I can't, you know, even in the off season in June and July, I've got people asking who you guys got this year. When are you going to announce the schedule? So it's been fun to see the event grow, and I think everyone who goes has a tremendous time, sees tremendous basketball, and it's been a lot of fun. So I've been really happy with the crowds and just the general atmosphere of trying to bring that sectional type atmosphere to the early season.
We're talking with Brian Snow. Brian is a basketball recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, also the director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, which will take place on Saturday, December 8th. great to see a Southern Indiana entry into the event this year after New Albany participated for a number of seasons. Jeffersonville, Trey Coleman getting some interest. They will take on Carmel. That should be a great matchup. And I'm also curious not just to hear your thoughts on that matchup as we sit a couple months out or more, but also Trey Coleman and his type of where his recruiting is at and the type of prospect that he's become and could become over the next couple of years.
Yeah, you know, Matt, when obviously we talked after last year's event, we had New Albany in 3 years in a row, and I like to keep teams from different parts of the state in. That's always been a goal, not just make it, you know, Indianapolis area teams. I always like to get, you know, teams from all over the state and different classes as well, if at all possible. And the team I identified immediately out of Southern Indiana was Jeffersonville. And as you mentioned, Trey Coleman's a big reason why. You're talking about a 6'6 type kid who's a really good athlete, long arms, and just keeps getting better. I'll be interested to see how his perimeter skills will develop through the year. That's what's going to determine just where his recruitment ends up. You know, he's already got an offer from Nebraska, and a lot of other Big Ten and Big East schools are watching him. So it's going to be intriguing to see where his recruitment ends up. He has a chance with his physical tools and athleticism to be a very highly recruited guy. So, you know, that matchup with Carmel would be fun. Carmel is a big guy, John Michael Malloy, who's committed to Butler. And obviously they've been a traditional power in 4A and are always a threat to win the state title.
Talking with Brian Snow, director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic. Let's take a look at the nightcap. And actually, I want, for time's sake, let's start with that and kind of work backwards. But Center Grove against LaPorte La Lemaire. You've got Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove. And Keon Brooks, obviously, is the big name for La Lemaire. But they have a number of players that will go on to play Division I college basketball and a few guys that Indiana is looking at very seriously.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting with La Lemaire. We've never had them in before. They've been intrigued. We've been intrigued with them, but I just never felt it was the right fit. But this year with Keon transferring from Fort Wayne North after their coaching change and situations up there, that I just kind of felt this was the time. And Keon and Trace Jackson Davis, they're good friends. So I knew they wanted to play against each other. Their parents are good friends. So I knew they wanted it. And then, you know, La Lemaire also has Isaiah Stewart, who's a top 10 big guy in the country. So I don't know if you'll see a better matchup of big guys in the country this year than what's going to be at Southport High School for Trace Jackson Davis against Isaiah Stewart.
And the game before that is obviously, and we're going to say this almost with every game we talk about, but it's a big one as well. Indianapolis Cathedral against Zionsville. You're looking at some high-level players, including some potential Big Ten-level guards in that game.
Yeah, you know, at Cathedral, you got Armand Franklin, who's their senior star, be a Mr. Basketball candidate. He's considering Indiana and Purdue. He's got a visit to Indiana this weekend and Purdue next weekend. And then, you know, at Zionsville, you got Isaiah Thompson, the younger brother of multi-year starter P.J. Thompson at Purdue. And like his older brother, Isaiah is committed to Purdue. So you have a potential for either future teammates going up against each other or future Big Ten rivals going up against each other. And the way both teams play, I would not be surprised if they end up guarding each other. So that one will be really fun to watch.
Talking with Brian Snow about the Forum Tip-Off Classic, all this will take place at Southport on Saturday, December 8th. Hamilton Southeastern against Culver Academies, that's the fourth game of the day. Culver, a 3A state champion a year ago. Hamilton Southeastern with some talent. That will be another interesting game to follow.
Yeah, you know, Culver's got maybe the top junior in the state, and Trey Galloway's got offer from Purdue and offer from Michigan State, heavy interest from Indiana. And then Hamilton Southeastern, you know, they got a couple seniors, Noah Smith, and then Toledo commitment, Aaron Etherington, and then also 7-foot center Mabor Majak, a junior. So you got D1 talent, you know, top to bottom, Hamilton Southeastern's probably as talented as any team in the state. And like you said, Culver, you know, 3A state champ, got a go-to guy in Galloway. You just don't see many matchups like this with as much D1 talent, good coaching, and depth from top to bottom of the roster.
The other two games that we've not had you comment on, Brownsburg against Newcastle and Southport will take on Frankton. Your thoughts on those games and some of the maybe more recognizable names for those four teams?
You know, Brownsburg, they're another threat in 4A. They've got one of the top sophomores, maybe the best athlete in all of Indiana, Pierce Thomas. He's certainly getting a significant Big Ten interest. And then, you know, they're facing Newcastle with Mason Gillis, who's committed to Purdue, and Luke Bumbelow, who's committed to Ball State, and Newcastle might be them and Culver are the two main threats of 3A right now for a state title. So that should be fun. And then in the opening game is a very interesting one. Southport's taking on Frankton. Frankton's a 2A team. They have everybody back from a squad that I believe won 24 games last year. So when you look at that, it's just like they're going up to play a 4A team in their building, but no one would be surprised if Frankton wins. And they could be, you know, they might be the favorites in 2A. So you're looking at a situation where probably have the state title favorites in 4A, 3A, and 2A all playing in the event this year.
Brian Snow, the director of the Form Tip-Off Classic. We worked through it backwards, so I'm going to give you the field from start to finish. The day opens Southport versus Frankton, Carmel against the local team, Jeffersonville, the second game, third game of the day, Brownsburg against Newcastle, fourth game, Hamilton Southeastern against Culver Academies, the fifth game, Indianapolis Cathedral against Zionsville, and the day concludes with Center Grove against LaPorte La Lamere. I think next time we have you on to preview the field and the games, I'm just going to start with who didn't you get, because you've got just about all the storylines, all the top players, all the things that you would want for a big day. And I love it that it's early in the year, and it kind of sets the tone for what the season could be like.
Yeah, you know, and one thing that I'm proud of, outside the first year when we didn't have tech in, but outside the first year, the last 4 years, every time, We've had an event, Mr. Basketball has been there. And this year will be no different. I feel very confident in making that prediction. So it kind of gives all the guys hoping to get that honor a chance to really show themselves on a big stage. And that's what this is about. It's about the kids and giving them a great opportunity and just a lot of fun for everybody in the state.
I know it's still early, and we'll have you back, obviously, before the event to talk some of the details and updates from the recruiting side of things as well. But what are ticket information like, or when will they be available? Fans always wanting to know how they can land a ticket to this big event.
Yeah, you know, what we always do is we get tickets out to the participating schools in November. And then it's $10 for general admission, $5 for students, and it's up to the schools. They can market it and sell it as much as they want. You know, we hope they sell as many as possible. They make some money that way when they do that. And, you know, pre-sale tickets are great, and we hope to see everybody up there. Again, it's $10 for adults, $5 for students, and it'll be at all the participating schools.
Absolutely. Brian Snow, director of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, also with 24/7 Sports. He's a basketball recruiting analyst. Brian, we always appreciate your visits to the program. We'll talk with you again here soon to continue promoting the Forum Tip-Off Classic and talk some other recruiting headlines, I'm sure.
I appreciate it, Matt.
All right, Brian Snow, 24/7 Sports, Form Tip-Off Classic. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some Southern Indiana headlines with News and Tribune sports editor Greg Mengelt. We'll also take a look at week two of high school football here in the area. We'll talk about some of the big games and maybe some of the storylines coming out of the opening week of high school football here in Clark and Floyd counties as well. Commercial break coming up. We'll be back with our final segment after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for a final segment here on this Wednesday program. We always have Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, to wrap things up on Wednesdays. A lot of things in Southern Indiana sports to talk about. None bigger than the start of high school football. Week one always has a special mystique about it, a special feeling, no matter how the results end up going later that night. But great to see football season get here. Now that we've kind of seen how things shook out in week one, we're kind of looking to week two to see, okay, is this team for real, or was that loss maybe just because so-and-so was playing a really talented opponent, and now that they'll get back down to the normal schedule this week. So some interesting things to look at. And I'll tell you my most interesting thing coming out of week one, New Albany. We talked about the thought that they might be pretty good this season. They might be able to put things together and have a great year. They beat Providence handily. Now in week two, they get a challenge from a like-sized school and a program in Castle that's always had good high school football. It's at New Albany, at Burke Field. I think this Friday night we'll find out if the Bulldogs are for real.
Yeah, no doubt. This is, without question, the big test game. Nothing against Providence. I think most of us expected New Albany to beat Providence. When you have a good 5A team against a good 2A team, you expect the good 5A team to win, and we found out that, in fact, New Albany probably is a really good 5A team. Whether they're on Castle's level remains to be seen, of course. It's a team they've always struggled with, but they've been pretty competitive with. They haven't been able to beat very often recently, but last year they were pretty competitive with Castle. So, yeah, that's going to be an intriguing final result, and I'll be interested to see what happens. Yeah, I'm typically would think that this would be a game that Castle would win, but it's a chance for New Albany to prove themselves.
Other big games, big Mid-Southern Conference game, Charlestown and Brownstown. It's still early in the season. A lot can happen in some of these conference races, which are really just beginning in a lot of cases. But with Charlestown rolling Silver Creek to open the season, Brownstown obviously the traditional power in that conference. This is a big one for Coach Hawkins and Charlestown.
Sure. North Harrison could still play a role in the conference final, but or in the conference race, but I'm expecting it to be come down to Friday. I think clearly Charlestown is back to where it's been over the years. You know, before the season I wrote, I expected them to be the surprise after winning only four games, the surprise of this season, and clearly that's playing out. They're big and strong up front, great runner in the backfield, you know, 7-8 returners back on defense. They're legit. And Brownstown's supposed to be a little down. They beat Corydon 49-0 in the first game, but that doesn't mean much. Corydon's not very good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that one too. And I expect the championship of the Mid-Southern Conference to be for Friday's game to play a big role in that.
A local game as far as rivalries go is Providence and Floyd Central. We always talk about Providence, who has such a tough start to the season, the way their schedule opens with New Albany, Floyd, and now Silver Creek. Floyd Central, likewise, week one, very tough for them every year as they take on Louisville Mail. So this will be a game I would think that would be much more competitive than both of those teams. Week one contest, but we'll see. Definitely, though, it's another big game for the fans and the students and the crowds, and it's a good rivalry in high school football here locally.
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about this for Thursday's sports section, but I watched the film of Floyd Central, and they're a lot better than that score said. I mean, they were on 95% of the snaps even with Mayo. Mayo just had some superior athletes who they couldn't contain, and the type of athletes that they won't see, maybe Columbus East, you know, where you have three or four just superior athletes that there's not much you can do when the ball's in the air and the guy just goes and gets it on third and 20 or whatever it was. So I think Floyd Central is going to be right there with New Albany at near the top of the Hoosier Hills Conference, which suddenly seems like it's there to be taken after what we saw from Columbus East. Losing to a Whiteland team mm-hmm. that won, what, three games last year. So interesting to see that.
I think on Friday nights, as we track all the games locally, I'll have to add that to my list of games to keep people updated on in this area, because they've been so dominant mm-hmm. that you kind of write off the conference championship or even the sectional championship in some cases. But when they lose the opener to Whiteland, who mm-hmm. at times has had a good football team,
right.
not last year, as you mentioned, but going to be interesting to see if that was a fluke, if that was a bad opening game, if Whiteland's a lot better than what we know. But obviously that was probably that score had nothing to do with Clark and Floyd County football mm-hmm. on Friday, but it was probably the one that got the most feedback.
Yeah, and they play Columbus North this week.
So wow.
There's a very good chance Columbus East is 0-2, which is unthinkable. Still probably a heavy favorite to win the Hoosier Hills Conference. They've won it 14 years in a row. So, but still, if you're New Albany and Floyd Central, and like I said, I like what I saw from Floyd Central. You've got to now think, hey, it's possible. So Providence, again, they played a good 5A team. I would not write them off by any measure. They're still a huge favorite in that sectional.
Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He is with me on Wednesdays. A couple other things. You guys are working on a special section to honor the local Little League success. We obviously talk a lot about that. We broadcasted a lot of the big district and state championship games. We talked about all the success from this area. You guys put it all together in kind of a commemorative special section.
Right. And, yeah, six state champions out of how many divisions? I mean, Floyd Central and between Floyd's Knobs and New Albany basically won every state championship under 12 years old. And it's hard not to come up with some kind of way to remember that, because I doubt that that's ever happened before. And I doubt that it'll happen again. So quite a year. And then you throw in the junior softball team from Clark County and you have six state champions, which is a pretty amazing run.
Yeah.
Basically everyone Clark and Floyd County participated in, they won.
Yeah, pretty impressive. But we've talked about how important that stuff still is, which is a big part of it, and keeping the better kids committed to playing league ball in addition to all the travel opportunities out there. But hopefully things like radio coverage and special sections and newspapers underscore why future generations should continue to, you know, go along that path. At least we hope. Also, you're the resident Purdue expert that stops in on this IU-based show as a big fan of the Boilermakers, and pretty cool to see Tommy Luce, who we only got to see 1 year of when his father accepted the Jeffersonville job. He came here with him, obviously, to finish his high school basketball career, going from a Richmond Red Devil to a Jeffersonville Red Devil. But after walking on for Matt Painter and Purdue, he gets a scholarship offer, all based on his hard work and commitment to that program.
Yeah, clearly he's won the hearts of not only his coach and his teammates, which is obvious if you ever watch a game and he gets a chance to get in, but the Purdue fans. He will, amazingly, probably not play 100 minutes in his career, and most likely, and it will go down as one of the favorite Purdue players of all time, just because it's obvious how his heart and his determination. And like you said, last year was featured on SportsCenter for his couple minutes of work in a game. So very cool to see that happen. I didn't expect it, but very cool to see that happen.
It will be interesting to see if coaching is in his future, maybe at the college level with the connections that he'll make there underneath of Coach Painter. But good to see local guys, no matter where it's at, go on to have success. And obviously that's big news for Tommy and his family. So congrats to him. Greg, thanks for being with me today.
He's had some pretty good mentors.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, that wraps things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m., the Hoosier Report, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. On Thursday's program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will be with us and more. So make sure you join us live at 11 o'clock, the replay at 3 o'clock. And, of course, we're always available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Have a great day. Until tomorrow, I'll be back with you at 11 o'clock.